So last week we began this series looking at how do we bring simplicity back into our lives in the midst of all of the decisions and the choices that all of us face. And our objective, you'll remember, is moving from that confused, muddled mess that so many of us have in our lives, or at least in my case, on my desk, to a simplicity, to a focal point for all that we do. This is a great quote about the choices that we have. So in a few hundred years, when the history of our time will be written from a long-term perspective, it's likely that the most important events the historians will see is not technology, not the internet, not e-commerce. It's an unprecedented change in the human condition. And for the first time, literally, substantial and rapidly growing numbers of people have choices. For the first time, they will have to manage themselves, and society is totally unprepared for it. And I think that that is so true. You know, there was a time when, for most people, there was really only one choice, just the place that they were living. There was one career, whatever their parents gave them to do. There wasn't a whole range of options for holidays and for modes of transport and all kinds of things. There was only one phone company. There was only one set of things to watch on the television. Now there's this veritable plethora of choices that we're presented every day in all kinds of different things. And so finding a way to navigate through all of these choices is an essential life skill. And so there are these three steps that we need to take whenever we're faced with choice, to evaluate, to examine the different choices that are open to us, and then to eliminate the ones that aren't necessary, and then to execute that choice. Today we'll mainly focus on that first step of evaluating. So whenever we're faced with a particular choice or a particular question, those three questions, what, when, and why, punctuate our choices, our decisions. Now, the problem is that for many people, the reason why you do things, well, what are the things you want to do? We want to do everything. As we saw last week, this kind of desire, we think everything is available, everything is possible. So you, and particularly for young people, you want to leave all of the choices there on the table because you want to do every possible thing. But if the reason you're doing things, why are you doing something? Well, it's the popular thing to do. Social media has told us what are the things that we need to do to mark and shape our lives. And when do we want to do it? When do we want it? Now. We always want it now. But the problem is that if that's the criteria that we're using to choose the different things that we need to do, that central point in the middle, that coming together of all of these different things, isn't a place of joy, it's a place of frustration, the highest point of frustration that only leads to more and more stress because we realize we can't do everything and we can't do things just because they're popular, and we certainly can't do all the things that we want to do here and now. But keeping those three questions of what, why, and when, but changing them to, rather than doing everything, but just doing the right thing. And rather than doing the things that are popular, but doing things for the right reason. And rather than doing things or just when we want to do them or now, but finding the right time to do things. We're discerning what is the place, what God is inviting me to do right now. What is the choice that is available to me, or how much longer do I have to wait until I can able to fulfill that? Then we discover that central place is rather than this place of stress and frustration, but instead a place of contribution, of joy, of contentment in the midst of that. We saw last week that less is more, this mantra that we're going to keep repeating over these weeks. But the problem is that pursuing less takes real discipline. It's the same. We all know that in terms of our health and in terms of our fitness levels, that, you know, the number one thing that all of us probably have to do in order to be healthier is to have smaller portions of food, to eat less things, to not have the second helping of whatever it is that's available to us. But we all know that, and we all know the necessity to have regular exercise in our lives and all these things. But that all takes discipline, right? And sometimes it's discipline is just the last thing that we want to be doing at any stage in our lives. You know, we know the things that we're meant to be doing. We know the kinds of things that we're called to do. But that element of discipline, of getting everything ordered and structured in our lives, can sometimes just be way too much work. It's the same with our prayer life, of wanting to pray more often and wanting to pray with greater quality. But that requires setting that time apart and setting that space within our lives to be able to pray. So how do we ask the right questions? What are the ways that we need to, the things that we need to do to evaluate the right choice for me at this particular point in my life? And one of the questions that we probably need to ask is, well, what do I feel deeply inspired by? And sometimes it's the opposite of this question that really should motivate us. Rather than the things that inspire me, well, what are the things that I find are just annoying the heck out of me right now? What are the things that are really angering me? So if you're really angered by the refugee policy in the Australian government, or you're really angered by the lack of action in climate change, you know, what are the things that you're inspired by? What are the things that frustrate and annoy you? Perhaps there's something in that that might be the area that you need to do something about. Maybe that's your highest point of contribution. Or you can think about it in terms of the things that you're talented in. So what are the things that you know that you have been given a particular ability in, something that you know that you're pretty good at and that can be that focal point for your life and for that sense of contribution to the wider society? Or a third question is, well, what's something that I can offer that will meet a significant need within the world? You know, what is something that I can see around me? Maybe it is being involved in St. Vincent de Paul, or maybe it is that sense of caring and compassion. So you can just sit with someone who is going through a time of grief or loss. And so finding those things, those areas in our life that we think, this is something that just resonates with me, that helps me to find that sense of purpose within my life. When we're looking at that and when we're trying to evaluate what are the choices that we should be making, I mean, there's always going to be a whole stack of different options available to us. But we know that most of those options, most of those things that are there before us are completely trivial and pointless and not the kinds of things that will provide ultimate life and guidance to us. So finding ways to discern the vital few things that will mark and shape us, that will provide life and energy to us. And one of the first things we need to do as part of that is learning to say no. You know, we will continue to be invited to do things, and I'll perhaps continue to invite you to be part of new ministries or whatever in the church. And you might say, look, I'm already doing enough. And that's a decision that every one of us needs to come to. You know, sometimes I've been invited to do things, and you feel really special when someone invites you to do something. You think, oh, wow, you know, they must think that I'm pretty cool to be able to speak at a conference or do something. And yet, often it's simply about my ego and not about the right thing to do at the right time for the right reason. And it's discerning that and discovering that, no, I can't do everything. I can only do the things that God has given me to do in this present moment. And finding the space to say, look, I'd love to be able to do that. I'd love to be able to help you out in this thing. But right now, I just haven't got the capacity to be able to do that. And there's a freedom that comes in our lives when we're able to say no to some of those things, to say, no, right now I need to have that space, I need to be able to say no in order to find life. Another part of that whole sense of, well, less is more, but the other element of that is that, well, stress is bad. We know so often this level of stress that just continues to increase and continues to rise within our lives as we're trying to fit and manage and structure all of these different parts to our lives. And one of the things that can provide that level of stress is just the level of debt that too many people carry in our local community. You know, debt is never something that is good. You know, I'm sure that if you've got a whole lot of debt, you lie at night thinking, Lord, I'm just so really grateful to you for providing, you know, so much debt in my life. I'm so grateful that you've given me all these different ways to be stressed out every night. I'm so grateful that I don't manage to sleep anymore. I'm so grateful that all of these things, you know, confuse me in the midst of all of the different things in my life. Finding that space to be free from things, to say no to things, to saying, look, I'll be content with what I have now, rather than going into more debt to get something newer or better or bigger than the shiny thing that I have now. So learning to experience that freedom in our hearts and in our lives. How do we do that? Of course, it is part of this whole process of living simply, of finding that space just to be content with the things, to say, right now, you know, I can't really afford to go out and have a cup of coffee or to go and do something that's just an optional extra, to focus on the simple few things and to do them well and to experience joy and wonder in all of the little things in our lives. Last week, I spoke about this whole principle of, well, get one. Well, if you get something new, then you need to give something away. And I thought, well, I really need to start doing that myself. And so I just went through the cupboards and all of that and thought, let's see if I can find 50 different things that I can declutter my life with this week. And it wasn't that hard a process, really. I mean, there's lots of things you're like, but just some stuff was just rubbish and had to be thrown away. A whole lot of stuff went to Vinny's this week. So the challenge that I give to you, and this is a personal challenge, so if there are more than one person in your household, maybe make this as something for each of you to do, but to find those 50 things that you can get rid of. There's a freedom that comes when we're able to focus on what's essential, to focus on that sense of persevering in these things. Just as Moses was there on the mountain interceding for Joshua in that fight, and as he stayed focused on that one thing, and as Aaron and Hur were there lifting his arms in prayer, remaining and keeping that focus provided the difference that they needed to be able to win that battle. We all need that focus. We all need that direction in our hearts and in our lives to find that freedom, to be able to live simply for the Lord and not get caught up in all sorts of other things. This is certainly not one of the things that we will regret.